So a baby was born to a young couple that were far from home, and they were present with a family that took them into their family living space and made space for them, as we talked about last week, attended by love and care from the midwives and women of the village. After the baby was born, news spread about the baby, much as it does today, as people shared the good news with each other. And you can just imagine, whenever a baby is born, there it brings warmth and a smile, and we delight in telling each other, there was a baby born, and it's healthy, and all those kinds of things. And I'm sure that buzz was spread around the village of Bethlehem that day as people shared the news about these people that were present for the tax and gave birth to a baby and the wonder of that. But in this particular case, God did something unique. Rather than leaving the news up to the random sharing from one person to another, God announced the birth of this baby, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. Scripture tells us that the shepherds were in the fields keeping watch over their flock. And outside of Bethlehem is an area known as Shepherd's Field, which I was privileged to visit. And it is an area where there's a lot of caves in the area, and you can get in the cave and get out of the weather with both the shepherd and the sheep. There's also some rock walls that separate areas so that you can keep your sheep together in a particular fold. Even today, the shepherds gather in this area when they're home and then go out from there up into the hills to take their sheep to graze. Scholars assume that the shepherds were in this area outside of Bethlehem watching their sheep on the night that Jesus was born. But the shepherds were poor and deemed unclean by the Jewish faith. They were generally uneducated, and they were considered to be a low class of people, really the unwanted class of people, other than that they performed a duty in tending the sheep. Then the angel of the Lord stood before these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So like Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph before them, the shepherds were afraid, understandably afraid. If an angel appeared to me, I probably would react in similar kinds of ways. But consistently, the angel reassures them first and says, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." Consistently, we're invited to trust the appearance of the divine presence in our midst. But then the angel goes on with this amazing good news. He says, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." The first people that God announced the birth of Jesus to were outcast and rejected people in that society. God didn't leave the announcements of Jesus' birth up to word of mouth. He sent angels. But he sent them to the lowest rung of society, to the people that no one would think would be deserving of such an announcement. And the angel said that the baby born was the Messiah. So all faithful Jews were anticipating the coming of the Messiah, but the angel came and said that he had been born this day. It was the Messiah. The Messiah had been born as a baby. And this incredible good news came to shepherds. Not only did the angel come with good news for the outcast, but he also invited them to go visit this baby. For a shepherd to visit the Messiah would be unthinkable, a breach of etiquette. Normally, the shepherds would be told, unclean shepherds, go home. You have no place here. Yet the angels told them to go and see the baby. Would they really be welcome? And yet, we think about it, the angels really anticipated that question and told them that the baby was swaddled, wrapped in long cloths, just like every peasant newborn child. And their own babies would have been swaddled the same way at birth. And the baby would be lying in a manger. And while this seems really strange to us, that angels would say a baby is lying in a manger, and it really would indicate that the baby was born in a barn, all by himself, lonesome, as we have learned that there was a manger at one end of the common living room in this one-room home, and because at night they brought the animals into the inn behind us, a low wall, and the cow could reach over the low wall and reach the manger and get hay in the night if it wanted. But every morning that hay would be removed and fresh straw put in the manger. And I think it would have been a very comfortable place to place a newborn baby so they wouldn't fall out, so they wouldn't roll away and get underneath things, but they would be in a safe place on fresh straw with a blanket laid down and then the baby placed on top. And my guess is that that was a common thing for young mothers to place their baby in this manger in the daytime. So that would have communicated to the shepherds that this was a common, ordinary peasant home just like their homes, and that it was a place that would be familiar, and that place that they would expect to be an ordinary home, not some rich person's home. Maybe they would be welcome after all. Maybe it would be okay to go. And so they went, finding everything just as the angel had said. What Scripture doesn't really say explicitly, but we can deduce, because we know that that culture in the Middle East is really one of honor. And that if the shepherds had come and found that Mary and Joseph were alone with no one to help them, no one to tend to their needs, no one to be with them, that the shepherds would have felt honor-bound to take them to their home and to care for them, to prepare meals for them, to have their women gather around and tend to Mary's personal needs, to be with them so that they wouldn't be alone. And the fact that they didn't do that indicates that probably there were others that were tending to them and that they weren't alone. Because it's important in any culture that we do hospitality well. And particularly in that culture, hospitality was a big deal, an important thing. The shepherds then left, praising God for everything that they had seen. And as the first evangelists, they told everyone their story of what they'd seen in this amazing experience of going to see the Messiah. God had come to them with this incredible good news that was for them, the rejected of society. So Jesus was born for the lowly, outcast, and rejected of society, but also for the rich and wealthy of society. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." So God also sent a message to wise men from the east who came with gold and frankincense and myrrh. The first announcement God sent out about the birth was to outcast Jews. The second announcement about the birth from God was to wealthy Gentiles. The wise men were likely Arabs from the east of the Jordan River in Arabia, and they brought gifts for this baby born king of the Jews: gold, which is actually mined in Arabia, and frankincense and myrrh. Both are harvested from trees that grow naturally in Arabia. These men were people that followed and studied the planets and stars. Not knowing where to find the child, they went to Jerusalem, which was the capital city, and started asking questions. The reading between the lines, it sounds like they just asked people as they came into the city, "Do you know where I can find this baby-born king of the Jews?" Well, Herod heard about it, and he was frightened at the search of a king, as was all of Jerusalem. Herod, because he was paranoid, so paranoid that he had already killed his wife and sons out of fear. Jerusalem was paranoid because of the terror they lived under with a paranoid king. So Herod called in all the chief priests and scribes and asked where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, "The prophets say in Bethlehem." So Herod sent the men, the wise men, on, asking that they return with the exact location so he could go and visit this one born king of the Jews. The wise men went to Bethlehem, found the child in the house where the baby was living. We aren't told how long after the baby's birth that this visit was, but presumably the child isn't yet old enough to travel, to make his way back to Nazareth. And so they're still living in the family home there in Bethlehem until he is old enough to travel. And because it was in Nazareth that Mary and Joseph raised Jesus. The wise men were overwhelmed with joy, and they enter the house and see the tiny baby Jesus. They pay him homage and offer him the gifts that they brought with them. But warned in a dream of Herod's true intentions, they returned home a different way. And Joseph and Mary then took Jesus to Egypt and lived as refugees until Herod died, at which time they returned home to Nazareth. So God comes to everyone. The lowly peasant during work considered unclean and unworthy to see a king, and to the wealthy wise men, well-educated, but of a different race and a different religion. And the same is true today, that God comes to everyone, to today's outcast, to those caught in poverty, to those living under a bridge, to those discounted by society, as well as today's wealthy, to the heads of corporations and billionaires. God comes to us, to all of us. And it's an invitation to trust the present God in our midst. An opportunity to welcome God into our daily lives, to live with God present with us, to listen and follow leadings, to share the good news with others, and to gratefully notice and worship God wherever God shows up. Let us listen as we wait in worship, listening to God who is present, who speaks to us in the silence. And I invite you, if God comes to you with something that God invites you to share, that you would raise your hand and Mark will bring you the microphone so that we can all hear. Let us listen. Let us be attentive and then faithful to share that which God shares with us.